Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Inside the Kia Studios, my name is Will Pelagic, taking you through the evening on this Sunday. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Give us a phone call, 404-741-0929. That's the phone number, and also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're going to talk to Frank Schwab coming up in less than 20 minutes' time about the Atlanta Falcons on the preview that he wrote for Yahoo Sports. And he has some very interesting thoughts about the Falcons going into 2019 and also about the way they ended 2018 as well. And I will break some of his predictions down coming up here in a moment. We talked earlier about the Atlanta United 3-3 draw with the New York Red Bulls. We'll get into that a little bit more too as well. And also the U.S. Women's National Team capturing their fourth championship of all time, defeating the Netherlands 2-0. Megan Rapinoe, goal in the 61st minute. Rose Lavelle, goal in the 69th. U.S. Women's National Team, first team since Germany to win back-to-back FIFA Women's World Cup. So we're going to do the NBA here. We did a little NBA earlier with the Hawks Summer League, but I'm going to go big picture here because I found myself, very much like all of you, just kind of really just irritated. And you know, I was like many who went to bed Friday night. I did the show here, the night show on Friday night. Stayed up for a little bit. Went to bed around 1:30. 20 minutes later, Woj comes out with the bomb that we all know about now, Kawhi Leonard, to the Clip Show and bringing Paul George along with him. It didn't take just that. LeBron and AD at the Lakers did a little bit. Kemba Walker going to the Celtics to team up with that group of all-stars. Took it. KD and Kyrie going to the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets? Really? And I'm sitting here in Atlanta, and I'm thinking, man, what is there to do about our Hawks? And I will say this, having done a little bit of this in a couple of different cities over the course of the last couple of years, been in a couple of different NBA cities. I was in Houston, where they are trying to figure out whether they want to trade for Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook? Westbrook for Paul straight up? Really? I mean that would just, ugh. There's a lot. I don't know. They would have to play with two basketballs. If you put Harden and Westbrook on the same, really? No. I've been there, and I've been in Charlotte where, Lord, they want to take the gas pipe in Charlotte, okay? They're talking in Charlotte about how they want to switch places with our Hawks. They want to be the Hawks because they saw the rebuild plan. They saw what the brain trust here did. Moving up in the draft, using assets in the draft, going and getting DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. And looking like at least something you're building for the future. My friend Reed Forgrave, CBSSports.com, I'm going to have on later on this week, spoke at the NBA Summer League today and was like, man, the Hawks are really loaded for bear for the future. But I believe the NBA was broken by Kawhi Leonard. I really do. The NBA was broken by Kawhi Leonard. Because instead of marching three aside with these big three super teams, they're going to march two by two. I add parenthetically, hurrah, hurrah. LeBron and AD go two by two, hurrah, hurrah. Kawhi and PG two by two, hurrah, hurrah. Like the old nursery rhyme would dictate. And I'm wondering, Are there enough of these two-by-twos for franchises like Indiana and Atlanta and Charlotte and Washington? There are so many of these cities with fan bases that are starved. And by starved, I mean crawling through the desert looking for water, starved for a championship. Phoenix, that will never get one, let alone two superstars on their own volition to come and be a part of that franchise. Now, you're sitting here looking at me saying, before Saturday, you would have never thought that the Clippers would be on that list. Well, fool me once. Before last week, you would have thought that the Brooklyn Nets would never been on that list. Well, fool me twice. What's the old saying? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. I can't make heads or tails of it, guys. But what I do know is that they're not lining up to come play here. And that is what makes me kind of sick. 404-741-0929. Were you like me and made sick by all the movement that took place? Just all the proliferation of moves that just, it seems contrived. It seems like the games don't even matter anymore. And all this building will go for naught. And not because I'm rooting for it to go for naught. Hey, I'm hoping, and I've been saying this all week, I'm hoping that the Hawks' young nucleus between Trae Young and Collins and Hunter, Reddish, and all the ancillary parts filling in around them, Bruno Fernando, etc. I'm hoping that all these ancillary parts can cobble together enough wins by the break where the organization's going to have to sit there and ask itself, do we go for it? Ask the same questions that the Braves GM and Brain Trust are going right now. Ask the same questions that Alex Anthopoulos is going through right now and saying, hey, do we go for it? Do we try to make something happen here at the trade deadline and maybe try and go get a seventh or eighth seed? Maybe sneak into the playoffs, win a round, maybe? But I just don't know, guys. I don't like all this contrived, premeditated, and just this movement. It just makes me feel queasy inside. I want to know how it makes you feel. 404-741-0929. Let's go to Richard and Dunwoody. Richard, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you, pal?
Doing good. I'll bring a little peace to your storm, calm your seas a little bit. So here's my opinion. So we got Reddish and Hunter, right? Mm. And you got Fernando later on. I think we're fooling ourselves if we don't think at least one of these guys is an all-star. You know, maybe not this year, but next year. And I think if you look at the Hawks as a whole, the core is still together. I think as long as you keep the core together in a rebuild, I think we're literally one star away from an actual championship team.
I think so, too.
I mean, you got Trae Young. I mean, I think when they see the – somebody's going to see the development of the team this year. And I think we're way ahead. I think we're like the Braves. I think we're ahead. I think this year the core that they're going to develop again, let's be real, they're going to develop again. And I literally think we're one star away. And somebody this next offseason, they're going to see it. And I think they're going to come. I don't know who, but I think somebody's going to see it and they're going to come. I think you have to put faith in that. Schlenk's done a great job. And I think he's going to bring somebody in. He's shown he's an advocate for a decent free agent. So I think he's going to get somebody good, maybe a decent trade. We've got a ton of draft picks next year, right? So I think he can move some of that around, get a good trade or a free agent, and bring somebody in. We're one star away, literally one star away. And we're fooling ourselves to think that, you know, one of these guys isn't going to try to be an all-star. I think we're fooling ourselves.
Appreciate the call, Richard. Thank you so much for listening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, I'm not sitting here and saying that you're wrong. But what I will say is that you basically have all the star power around you that's going to come willingly. Like, you're going to have to make a trade. And that comes into play, whether or not you want to shed assets to get that next star? That's the big question mark. And quite honestly, you know, you have to also, and again, a lot of this is built into the question. You got to be good enough by the time you get there in order to make that happen. 404-741-0929. Let's go to Big T. You're listening on Sports Radio 929 The Game. What's up, Big T? How are you?
I'm doing great, but I think you're out of your mind with the NBA conversation here. The NBA is broken because guys play two by two by two in the league. That's why the league's as popular as it's ever been. Look at the TV ratings. Look at the fact that
the same ratings that were down this past postseason.
We're talking about Kawhi Leonard, and it's July the 4th, and it's the 4th of Kawhi because he hasn't picked where he wants to go play basketball. Don't tell me the league doesn't like that stuff. They love it.
I don't know if I like the fact that so much of the conversation was delved around just the where he, will he, won't he. I didn't like that. I didn't like it at all. Because, again, you are mortgaging two-thirds of the league. Two-thirds of the league is irrelevant right now. Is that good for basketball? I don't think it is. Basically, places like here and Indiana and Charlotte and Washington are just tour stops for the next bus, you know, for the next concert. It's a concert series, the NBA is. Because you got the LeBron show coming in, you know, once a year, and then you got the Kawhi show coming behind it. And you'll get the KD and Kyrie show coming up, you know, a couple of times here this year. I mean, it just, where is the hope for a franchise like Atlanta? I hope it exists. I hope it's there. I hope I'm proven wrong. I want it to be wrong. Let's quick schedule in Eddie in Decatur. Eddie, you're talking with us Hawks here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. What's up, pal?
Hey, what's going on, man? Love the show.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, look, man, I think that the Hawks are fine, and here's why. Golden State wasn't a destination until they started to come to prominence.
Right.
And how did they come to prominence? Through the draft, and Steph and Clay and all those guys. And if you look at a couple of calls ago, the guy said that we're ahead. We are going down that same path where we have good young draft picks. We have a star potential in Trae Young. And so Atlanta, as they grow and as they mature, remember, this group's only going to be together, the second, third year they're going to be together, plus all these new pieces?
True.
I mean, we're primed for a superstar to pick Atlanta as a destination.
I hope you're right. From your lips to God's ears, Eddie, I really do. And again, like you said, Golden State did build through the draft. Golden State was... again, really the last team to really build a power that wasn't a manufactured power through trades and the like. They actually built through the draft. And, of course, now we're seeing the fracturing of that when it comes to the obvious moves that took place over the course of last week. I'm going to ask Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, what does Dan Quinn have to do to feel okay about his job in 2020? With the Falcons in 19. That comes your way next. Will Polonchuk here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. We now head down to the WadeFord.com hotline. We're joined by Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, as he gives us kind of his rundown. He's been doing his preview of all 32 teams in the NFL season, and he's been counting down the teams in reverse order of his 2019 power rankings, and he got himself to the Atlanta Falcons. And so I start by asking you, Frank, you know, the 2018 Falcons season was a peculiar one. How are you forecasting 2019? Is it a reversal of fortune? Because it seemed like so much of the fortune did not go their way in 2018.
Right. And I think that there's an optimistic view where they bounce back. I was really high on them coming into last year. I thought they were really loaded on both sides of the ball, and it just didn't play out that way. It was, there were the injuries. I get that. I totally get that. You lose both safety, you lose Deion Jones. That affects everything. But I don't think that accounts for everything. If you look at the whole, there were teams that had more injuries. And for the Falcons to go 7-9, and I wrote in most of my preview about this, for the Falcons to go 7-9 with Matt Ryan having a legitimately great season, how much better can Matt Ryan be? And how much better can your offense be? It's hard for me to believe Matt Ryan builds on what he did, and yet the Falcons are still 7-9, and not even a particularly unlucky 7-9. They were 4-9 and won three meaningless games at the end. So I understand that there's a ceiling with this team that's very high, much higher than I had them. I had 19. But I also just, this year coming into it, I kind of say, how does this team get much better? How does this team really, truly improve that much? And I don't really have a great answer for that.
It's weird because Ryan, two out of the last 3 years, has had just 7 interceptions in each of those two seasons. The one odd year was 2017, where he threw 12, and he had 35 or better touchdowns in two of the last 3 seasons. Is he more of the 2016 or 18 quarterback, or more the 2017 quarterback like we saw 2 years ago?
Oh, I think he's more 2016, 2018. The 2016 season was ridiculous. I mean, he might not be to that level, but he's a very good top 10 quarterback in my mind. He is one of those guys who, you know, it doesn't matter the coaches he has, doesn't matter who's around him. He's going to make guys better. He is an excellent, excellent quarterback. And again, it just bewilders me a little bit that he could play as well as he did last year on the whole, and they still go 7-9. You know, as I kind of pointed out in the beginning of that preview, it's the greatest season ever for a quarterback in a losing team. I mean, it's never really happened like that before, and I used a bunch of stats to illustrate the point. So I think Matt Ryan's a very, very, very good quarterback, and I think that if you're going to be positive about the Falcons this year, that's where it starts. You say, okay, every team's looking for an elite quarterback, and Matt Ryan, I don't know if he's elite, if he's just on the other side of elite, whatever you want to argue where that line is, but he's very, very good. Most teams would love to have him, and he provides the foundation and the hope that the Falcons, yeah, maybe they can turn it around and be right back in play.
You know, this is the time of year where a lot of the, you know, silly season discussions come about, and one that's kind of been prevalent on our station here the last week, Frank, is, you know, is Matt Ryan Hall of Fame level yet? Can he get there? Where do you think he is in terms of amongst the elite all time, and how close is he, at least in your mind, to being somebody who can wear that Hall of Fame blazer in Canton?
Right. I think he's very, very close. I mean, this is going to hurt, but I mean, if Super Bowl 51 goes a little differently, he's in. I mean, he's a lock right now if they end up finishing that game. I wonder, the one guy I think about and I can turn to as far as, like, you know, how the Hall of Fame is going to view them is Donovan McNabb. And I think McNabb had a great career. I think he was really, really excellent for a long time, but no Super Bowl ring. And that does matter to the voters, whether I agree with that, whether you agree with that, whether anybody else agrees with that. Getting a ring kind of gets you in. I mean, that's not for like a Joe Flacco or Trent Dilfer, but that's kind of the thing that nudges you over the finish line. And I'm not sure Matt Ryan has that right now. I think he's really close. If he has a few more good years like he's had, just the counting numbers are going to look so good that he might get in. I think he's going to be a very interesting debate right now. And it kind of stinks for him because if that Super Bowl turns out differently, he's pretty much a lock right now. I mean, it'd be hard to find many guys who have had his kind of longevity, an MVP, and a Super Bowl, and not get in the Hall of Fame. So I think he's right on the edge right now. Probably needs a few more good years. A Super Bowl clincher for him, but that's tough to predict. It's tough to predict any team win a Super Bowl in a small amount of window Matt Ryan has left.
The initial 2019 power rankings of Yahoo Sports have the Falcons ranked 19th in the league, and one of their writers, Frank Schwab, joining us here, man who wrote the preview on the Falcons 2019 season, joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with me, Will Pelagic. So about what's in front of Ryan, I mean, he was hit almost as many times as he's been at any point in his career this past year. They made some strides in the draft and in the offseason to at least shore up the offensive line. There's nowhere to go but up for them. How much do you think they fortified that unit?
Oh, I mean, they had to get better. I mean, you know, you look at their offseason and the way the salary cap broke down, the way the draft broke down, they basically had 4 chips to play. I mean, it's, you know, legitimate, not your depth forward type of free agency moves or your late round picks, but 4 legitimate chips to play, and they put every one of them on the offensive line. Now, I get it. I mean, the offensive line was their weakness last year by far. I mean, it just fell apart. And, you know, you can't get your quarterback hit 102 times again. You don't want that to happen. You want to have a running game to balance things out. But I do wonder if, you know, maybe maybe not all four chips on the offensive line, maybe three, and you go get a cornerback, or you go get a defensive lineman. You know, I mean, it's, there are some other needs they had. I don't know if they addressed them as well as I would have liked them to address that, but I kind of understand it. The line has to be better. Two first-round picks, two free agent signings. Not all these guys are going to start because Mack and Matthews are still there, but they definitely improved in that area. They had to improve in that area. And obviously, Dimitroff and Quinn viewed it as, hey, if our offensive line, if we're better up front, everything else feeds off of that. We're going to be a better team as a result. And I don't doubt that might be the case. It's just one of those things where it was an interesting way to attack the offseason, basically fixing one area and ignoring the rest.
You know, Frank, you mentioned somebody who had an amazing 2016 season in the year that went to the Super Bowl with Matt Ryan. Another guy who had an amazing year on the defensive side was Vic Beasley, and then ever since, he's kind of fallen off. This is a big year for him, obviously, contract year. What are you expecting out of him? Because many people believe that if he doesn't have a good enough season, it might be his last in Atlanta. And if he does, it might also be his last in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. I read stuff from my friend, you know, D'Orlando Ledbetter and all them out there talking about how maybe Beasley's working on new pass rush moves, get a little more of a repertoire. And it does seem like he stagnated a little bit. It seems like he had that magical 2016 season. And it's just kind of, well, what's the next step? It kind of teams may figure out a little bit for him that he's a speed guy, he's a great speed guy, but he doesn't have a counterpunch. So maybe just getting older, wiser, adding that to your game. It is a big year for him. He should be motivated. I assume he is. That, you know, if he comes in and pulls double-digit sacks, if Atlanta doesn't use a franchise tag on him at that point, he's going to have a huge day in free agency because those guys are so tough to find. And he might have a huge day anyway because he hasn't looked back at that 2016 and chase it. I mean, that's how important edge pass rushers are. So I think there's a huge year for the Falcons, for Beasley, just to figure out, okay, hey, here's your market. Are we going to pay that or not? If not, you pat him on the back and say, hey, thanks for the 5 years. I don't know which way it's going to go with him. It's tough to say. He obviously has a talent, but it hasn't shown up the last couple of years. It's obviously a huge pivotal year for his career.
Inside the microscope, and then widening it here, Frank, as we're talking with Frank Schwab of the Yahoo Sports NFL Insider, joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We talk Falcons offseason. Ricardo Allen said that he believes that this defense is a top 10 defense when healthy. Without having everything in front of you, Frank, do you believe him?
No. I mean, no, I just can't get behind that. I don't think that this defense is good enough to be that. They do have some pieces, obviously. I mean, yes, I mean, almost any team, you can concoct a best-case scenario where everything clicks. Vic Beasley plays like he did in 2016, and Tack, you know, it improves upon his 7 sacks last year. And Deion Jones plays like Luke Kuechly, and he's a great player. And, you know, but it just... I don't really foresee that from these guys. I mean, they don't necessarily need to be top 10 either. Top half of the league, and you're creating turnovers, and you're really relying on your offense to get in shootouts with teams that beat them that way. I don't think that the Atlanta Falcons' blueprint for an NFC South title is a top 10 defense. It'd be great if it happens, but I can't really foresee that unless, you know, a dozen different things fall exactly into place for them. I don't know that that's necessarily going to happen. Isaiah Oliver becomes a Pro Bowler, you know, I mean, stuff like that. So I don't really see them as a top 10. They could be good. They could be better than they were last year, for sure, with health. But they don't need a top 10 defense. They'd be happy just with a opportunistic, get the ball back to Matt Ryan, a good field position with some sudden change or some turnover type of defense.
Yeah, you mentioned this, and I'm going to put you on the spot here because you said that's not necessarily the blueprint for them to win the South in 2019. What in your mind is?
I think it's just being it's being a little more balanced. It's not necessarily all Matt Ryan all the time. It's, you know, getting back to running the ball, Devontae Freeman being healthy, you know, Smith taking the next step, the offensive line being a lot better. Just, I think, being a top 10 offense, for sure. I think they have to be that, and maybe they will be. I think their cutter is much better coach than Steve Sarkisian. And then defensively, again, create turnovers, stay healthy. I mean, this team, I think its depth was exposed a little bit last year. You know, you look at the big names and you say, wow, the starting 22 is really good. And then we found out last year, well, when you lose a few guys, they don't really have the depth behind them. So I think they would have to have a lucky year injury-wise. It's still a really tough division. I'm not saying they can't win it because they obviously have the star power for it, but I think that they need a very good, balanced offense that takes advantage of its opportunities in the red zone. And the defense needs to be opportunistic and stay healthy. And then you catch a couple breaks along the way. Every team needs to. You need, you know, maybe Cam Newton misses some time and the Carolina Panthers, you know, finish 8-8 or something like that. So there is a path. I can see them winning the division. I mean, they're a very good team at their top end, but they're going to need some things to definitely go better than they did last year.
Short answer, 30 seconds or less. Is Dan Quinn in trouble with another 8-8, 7-9, 9-7 type season?
And I think that 8-8 is kind of the cutoff. If he goes 9-7, no. If he goes 7-9, yes, he's in trouble. But if he goes 8-8, but they look a little bit better. And all 8-8s are the same. I would say he at least needs to go 8-8, though. I mean, if he goes anything less, I think he's in real trouble. We'll see what happens if he goes 8-8.
Less than basically 3 weeks, almost two, until the Falcons take training camp in Flowery Branch. Frank Swam talking it over with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks so much for the time, Frank. We appreciate it.
Yep, no doubt.
One of the best who does it in the NFL, Frank Schwab, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got his perspective. Want to hear yours. 404-741-0929. What do you want to see from the Hawks? What needs to go right in your mind for them to have an improvement in 2019? I'll give you my talking points for that. Maybe we'll get back into the Hawks talk as well, and also get you back into the soccer as well as we continue on a Sunday evening. Will Pelagic in with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Will Pelagic back with you, 404-741-0929. That's how you get in touch with us, not only on the phone, but on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. They're in the 69th minute. USA-Mexico still scoreless in the Gold Cup final. Of course, earlier today it was the U.S. Women's National Team winning the Women's World Cup for the fourth time in their history. Atlanta United 3-3 draw against the Red Bulls. Hawks lose in summer league play 90-66, and the Braves close out the first half with a 4-3 victory over the Marlins. Charlie Culberson with a big double play in the ninth inning. A catch in the outfield followed by an outfield assist, gunning down a man at the plate that would have been the tying run, and helps the Braves improve to 6 games above second place Washington, 6.5 ahead of third place Philadelphia. I wanted to stop down on a couple of things on the Falcons, and we'll take some Falcons calls too again at 404-741-0929. And the one thing that Frank brings up has to do with the Falcon offseason, and I wonder if you felt the same way, because look, we all know what the problem was last year on offense. It had nothing to do with Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan, I know, is a lightning rod type subject here in this town. So I'm not going to give you the garden variety. Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer? Is he not? Would I take him over Andrew Luck? I'm not feeding you that line. But what I am feeding you is, was it so necessary to go out and basically spend every offseason resource you had to improve the offensive line? I'll give you the numbers. He took 42 sacks in 2018. Got pounded. Took 102 quarterback hits, sixth in the league in 2018. Would it surprise you that in a season that was similarly sparkling, the year they went to the Super Bowl, he took 4 more quarterback hits and was sacked just 5 less times, 37. That was 11th in the league in the sack department, 6th in the league in quarterback hits with 106. Was the offensive line the problem then? You could argue it was. But the offensive line wasn't the big detriment. Granted, it was a detriment. No one's sitting here and saying that it was all of a sudden crazy. And the other part of this, too, is that it's not like they went out and got garbage to replace him. You have a highly touted offensive guard in James Carpenter, who comes over from the Jets, 4 years, $21 million. Jamon Brown is a veteran, 3 years, $18.5 million. And then the two draft picks with Lindstrom and McGarry, who were both highly touted. Lindstrom, I believe, was the second highest of the guys that were interior linemen coming out of college. So that is at least something that you can build for the future. But you lost Bruce Irvin on the pass rushing side. You lost Robert Alford out of a secondary that, quite honestly, has more questions than answers a lot of times. And you lost Tevin Coleman out of the backfield. So was the problem so drastically needing to be fixed like it was this offseason? 404-741-0929. Because here's the problem. You got Tack McKinley, who's trying to come into his own here in season number three. You have Vic Beasley, who was a shadow of his former self 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he had 15 and a half sacks. The last 2 years, he's got 10. Together. Last 2 years, he's got 10. And you could sit here and say that he's got all the makings and all the pass rush moves and that. What have you done for me lately, Vic? And I love Vic Beasley. I love Beasley. I love Jarrett, the two Clemson guys. But in reality, what are we doing here? And you could be looking at a scenario where with Beasley, you're darned if you do and darned if you don't. Because here's the problem. He has a bad year. The Falcons let him walk. He has a good year. He'll sign a big contract with somebody else. I mean, it's largely possible that you are seeing the last year of Vic Beasley in a Falcon uniform, and that's sad given the fact that this is a player who had so much upside coming out of Clemson and really outside of the one season, it's looked very, very odd. We talked about the secondary earlier. Is Desmond Trufant the same guy? Are you going to get the Desmond Trufant of 2015 and 16? Are we going to get the Desmond Trufant of 17-18? Same goes for Keanu Neal, Ricardo Allen. Again, a lot of these guys were in and out of the lineup too. Deion Jones, another one. It's the lack of depth on defense, I think, needed to be addressed. And losing Bruce Irvin doesn't help either. So pardon me if I don't go gaga over the fact that, oh my, Matt Ryan is going to stand upright in 2019. But yet the defense can't stop a nosebleed. That's the part that concerns me. If the Falcons want to have the kind of year in 19 that challenges the Saints, that leapfrogs the Carolina Panthers, that, hand to God, God forbid, sweeps the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the defense has to stay healthy, and you have to find another playmaker outside of Julio, Ridley, Sanu, and Freeman. You just have to. And whether that's Justin Hardy, whether that's one of the backup running backs, Kenyon Barner, Kadri Allison. I mean, these are all options. I'm open to all options. Russell Gage, even. But the problem here with Atlanta is that you are in a murderous division. People talk about the NFC West. People talk about the AFC West. People talk about the NFC North. I still believe that the NFC South is the toughest division in football, and I think that any of those top three teams could win any of the other divisions in football. I really do. Because I think you have two generational quarterbacks in Breeze and Ryan. You've got a game changer in Cam Newton. And quite honestly, you know, people in Carolina aren't really high on Ron Rivera. I've always been a big Ron Rivera guy. And here's the thing. I'm also a big Dan Quinn guy. I'm somebody who historically has not been a big fan of defensive head coaches. But I think those two in the league probably do it better than anybody else among the defensive head coaches, the defensive-minded head coaches. Now, it'll be a little bit different this year with Quinn, because Quinn is going to be taking over the defensive play calling, and I'm wondering how much of the offensive meeting room time he's going to get. Because that's the one thing at the college level I see a lot from defensive-minded head coaches. Read Will Muschamp, South Carolina, Reed, others of that ilk. Guys who have no desire to even sit in the offensive meeting room and know what the heck is going on. I don't think Dan Quinn is that way. I don't think Ron Rivera is that way. I think they do more listening than talking. And I think, too, you can't understate the fact that he hired a former head coach in Dirk Cutter. The fact that there's more former head coaches on this staff than the Alabama head coaching staff slash assistant slash analyst staff is telling you something. It tells you Dan Quinn got smart. It also tells you that he's not worried about his job security, which is why I asked the question I did about when I talked to Frank Schwab. I asked him, does 9-7, does 8-8 save his job for 2020? And from Frank's talking, it seems like the right kind of 8-8 would. 9-7, definitely. 7-9, not so much. And the schedule doesn't give you any favors, especially inside the division, because you know that you're probably looking at something around 500 in the division. If you can get one over 500 in the division, you're ahead of the game in my mind. And your out-of-division schedule is not easy. So what do you do? Keep the defense healthy and find a playmaker out of the guys I listed. Jones, Sanu, Ridley, Freeman. Got to find somebody there. 404-741-0929. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. There was a little something that was on Twitter a couple of hours ago that we have to at least clean up and make sure that we address. Not from our perspective, but from a prominent college player who looked like he had said something bad, but in reality might be framed. Will Pelagic here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Willie P back here with you. You can find me on Twitter at Willie P Style, where CalBro84 tweets at Willie P Style. You can also tweet us at 92.9 The Game as well. You can make the argument that the Falcons' offensive line was the reason they lost Super Bowl 51. They couldn't run out the clock or run the football. I was there, so it's not like I was, you know, I think I'm coming at this from 30,000 feet. I was there. I saw it. I saw the blind side blitz. I'm not sitting here and denying that. But somebody also had to give up those 25 points. I mean, that's the other part of this. That's the other, you know, a bend don't break defense maybe changes things as well. Or a defense that's better than bend don't break, I should say, changes things as well. So again, valid point. No one's saying that's not a valid point. But the fact that you got there in 16 with that patchwork offensive line, and then in 18 you went 7-9 with, again, a similar effort, and then you go, oh my God, we're going to fix the offensive line, but nothing else. And that's the problem. No one's saying you shouldn't have drafted two offensive linemen. That's a good move. Do you give two free agent contracts to offensive linemen? I don't know. Did they need to get Jamon Brown? I don't know. Carpenter, maybe. But maybe one of those chips could have been saved for, if not an Irvin, then somebody else of a defensive playmaker's scenario. Because the fact that we're sitting here and saying, oh, well, they were all hurt last year. No one accounts for regression. No one accounts for, I mean, again, being hurt is just the same as not being there. And just because you were hurt does not mean you're going to come back to the level that you were before the injury. That's the biggest issue with me when it comes to the Falcon defense. But again, we can debate it. We can continue. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, I know we were heavy footy in the opening hour. We haven't had a...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.